You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Benham Bentaleb, who is Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We're going to Tehran, the brain of the octopus attacking Israel. At the same time, I mention the monsters of Hamas are attached directly to the monsters of Tehran. The headline from the Times of Israel. Israel says Palestinian Islamic Jihad murdered Oded Lifshitz in captivity. The ID continues for bodies believed to be the Shira Bibas sons and wife, murdered in captivity. What we're looking at here is Israel accepting hostages doled out by Hamas in the midst of a celebration that Hamas puts on when it does this. This time it was coffins being returned. I don't stop with Hamas. I go to Tehran and the vouchsafing of this grotesque conduct by the Ayatollah himself. In these last hours, we have the commander of the IRGC and the Iranian army threatening again because the U.S. conducted exercises, very clear-cut exercises of flying B-52s over the Middle East these last days, threatening to retaliate. Benham, a very good evening to you. We have the Hamas grotesquery and we have the threat by Iran. However, at the same time, you have convincing evidence that Iran is in a charm offensive, so-called, in order to achieve an end that it can't with threats and with violence. How so? Good evening to you, Benham.
Very good evening to you, John. Always a pleasure to be back with you. Listen, make no mistake, from Trump's election period in November up until inauguration, the Islamic Republic had been on something of a charm offensive. On the one hand, trying to strengthen its position, trying to get more uranium to be enriched, trying to get China to buy more sanctioned Iranian oil. On the other hand, dangling the English language speakers, Zarif, Araghchi, out before major Western media outlets, even having their president, Mr. Pezeshkian, meet with an American media outlet, NBC News, and even take back or pretend the death threats against President Trump by senior Islamic Republic officials and death plots by the security services of the Islamic Republic of Iran never even happened. And ultimately, you did see the regime try to dial down some measures, whether that's escalation by Iran-backed militias in Iraq against U.S. positions, the Houthis coming around to the ceasefire period, and also not firing on U.S. or other international vessels traversing the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea. The Islamic Republic is weak at home, has been rocked by a teetering, if not collapsing, rial, the national currency value relative to the U.S. dollar, a major energy/gas crisis this winter, on top of years of mounting anti-regime sentiment and protests. So the regime understands how weak it is. Oh, and by the way, it lost its sole state ally, the Assad regime in Syria. It has been neutered of some long-range strategic air defenses thanks to an Israeli strike back in October. And it's trying to ride the wave of the consistency of President Trump's message, even from the first term, of him seeking a deal. And while the Iranian media space has been filled with commentary of how much they don't want a deal, this is very much the world of signaling the opposite. When you pedal really hard in one direction, you're actually just building up leverage to go in the exact opposite direction. In Persian, we call this phrase takhche bala, which means the niche above. Make you reach for the niche above. and hereby Khamenei devaluing the importance of negotiations after he had just issued a pale green light for negotiations, A, is consistent with his strategy that we've seen under Biden and under Obama, where he tries to get the credit and also avoid the responsibility for nuclear negotiations. And then ultimately, to be able to have America bleed, to have America the superpower become America the supplicant in a quest for talks with Tehran.
The puzzle for me is how the Ayatollah believes he can make the last year and a half go away and not be held accountable for it. That seems another kind of mind to what I'm familiar with as a geopolitical leader. Do they respond in any fashion to a challenge saying, you did this, you did that, you're doing this, you're doing that, and your conduct is unacceptable in the community of nations? Do they respond?
Well, that's been the problem. The Islamic Republic, unfortunately, as you know, recently just celebrated on February 10 or 11, depending on the calendar you use, their 46th anniversary. And those things, calling out the regime for its deplorable behavior at home and reprehensible and revisionist behavior abroad, have been coterminous with the 46-year existence of this regime. So naturally, they respond, they lie, they fib. But we're also seeing something interesting. I don't want to say new, but somewhat innovative out of the Islamic Republic, which is to take this strategy of compartmentalization that exists between Iran and Russia, Iran and Turkey, Iran and Qatar, even, and try to employ that here vis-a-vis Israel and America. And they're sincerely hoping that President Donald Trump does not connect the dots of the past year and a half with the future.
I want to go to something that happened in the first Trump term that my colleague John Bolton has been living with for many years, which is a death threat to Bolton and others, as a member of the first Trump administration. And I believe directed against the president himself when he was a former president. I recall reading about the Secret Service being anxious about the possibility of a drone following their caravan. This is during the campaign. There have been loose talk for years about revenging Soleimani's death in Iraq and that other leader of the Hezbollah, of Hezbollah Khattab. The conduct has been consistent year after year. There were even plots interrupted by the FBI. Does that go away too? Do they comment on that?
Well, the only really major official comment from the Iranian administration has been from the president, who you could say plays more the role of T-boy than president, if you're looking for a Western equivalent here. But he said in conversation to NBC News that there was no such plot ever to kill President Trump. And this is in spite of years of not just senior Iranian religious, but military officials, the commander of the aerospace force, the guardian of the largest ballistic missile arsenal in the Middle East, re-upping on Iranian television in 2023, if I'm not mistaken, his desire to kill Trump. You know, these are not small things that can be washed away. Yes, more recently, the DOJ had uncovered a plot. I think it was like something for $5,000 to some Pakistani national to try to innovate on U.S. territory and find new ways to go after the president. There was that. But then there's also the more damning thing I would like our readers to know, which is I discovered this in a recent Axios piece, where an author was talking about following Trump on the campaign trail. And it turns out that the Secret Service was worried about an Iran-backed threat to the president, specifically to his plane then. So what was called Trump Force One, that somehow the regime would smuggle in a surface-to-air missile. And at Mar-a-Lago, when Trump's plane was landing or taking off, target his plane. And reportedly, based on that one reporter, and this story again is out in Axios, so the audience can go out and read it, this was taken so seriously by Trump's Secret Service team that there were several times when the plane flew on without him, and reportedly he had to use someone else's plane, Steve Witkoff's plane, and just to make sure that if anything did happen, it would not happen to him. So these are very, very real threats that the regime is hoping to simply have President Trump ignore.
The connection with China, the connection with Russia, is that significant here in this about face? Is there any reason to believe that Beijing or Moscow have impressed upon the Ayatollah that they're going to cut him loose unless he reverses course?
Most unfortunately not. If anything, one is looking at the economic, political, security, military, and even intelligence trend lines between Tehran and Beijing and Tehran and Moscow is that they're deepening. And that as Beijing and Moscow deepen their own geostrategic competition with America, the utility of an actor, of a revisionist, spoiler, terrorist actor seeking some of the world's most destructive weapons, grows significantly. As a pawn to be deployed on a chessboard at the time of their own choosing against their major American adversary in a critical theater like the Middle East. So ironically here, whereas a decade ago, Russia was seen as a partner in nonproliferation against the Islamic Republic, perhaps today a nuclear-armed Islamic Republic may not be a threat to Putin.
Ben Amenteldo is a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. The Trump trap, when we come back, he has three explanations as to why the regime is false and why the threat to President Trump is vitally important to pay attention to and why the idea of negotiation is a fiction. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.